Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes 5 times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I love the NFL. I love the NFL. But Christmas is our day.
That was LeBron James last night after the Lakers had a late win over the Golden State Warriors. And that turned into a really fun game. Just a very classic LeBron versus Steph Curry kind of game. Steph went off. LeBron had a great game, too. I don't want to say vintage because it hasn't been that long ago. Those two guys were really, really great at basketball. But it was a fun game last night. And historically, the NBA has sort of owned Christmas Day. You know, I've always, in football, it's been Thanksgiving Day. Thanksgiving Day belongs to the NFL.
Christmas was kind of like this ceremonial start of the NBA season, sort of the unofficial start. That people loved the lockout season when they actually did start on Christmas Day. It was like, this is awesome, because it sort of lines up with how the NBA is in the zeitgeist.
Yeah, so the NFL, because they are the NFL, and they can do whatever they want, and people are still going to buy it. It just does not matter. It is an absolute behemoth, and I cannot imagine a time in my lifetime where the NFL doesn't dominate. But they are trying to encroach now on Christmas Day, which, again, historically, in terms of sports, has owned Christmas. And that's what LeBron was saying right there. He's sort of joking about it, but they put on a pretty great show last night. And for a sport whose television ratings have been down going back about a decade, the other day here on KMOX.
Really down this year.
Really down. Well, it's there are a lot of factors that go into it. And I know that there are the people who look at everything through a political lens who will say the NBA is too woke. The NBA has been the same for a long time. The reason people are not watching, there are multiple reasons. One of them is I think a lot of people are probably streaming it for free.
Yeah, the NBA's fan base skews younger and therefore more technologically adept, more capable, and more willing to stream illegally.
So the numbers,
that's definitely part of it.
Numbers aren't going to show up. If people are streaming illegally, you're not going to know about it. It's not going to reflect in the numbers. That is part of it. I think some of it is they're just, other than Giannis, Anthony Edwards, Luka Doncic, guys like that, there aren't a ton of American-born stars, and I do think that has a little bit to do with it, too, because people who watch the sport domestically tend to identify with people who are born here. To me, it doesn't matter, but I think to a lot of people, it actually does. So I think that's part of it. There just aren't a whole lot of superstars like LeBron, like Steph Curry. I mean, you got a couple. A lot of it, I think, maybe more than anything else, is load management and the idea of players saying, you know what, the regular season doesn't really matter all that much. We need to be healthy and fresh for the playoffs. So that means I'm going to take this game off. Maybe I'm only going to play 25 minutes in this other game instead of playing every day. And when people tune in to watch, they want to watch the stars play. Especially in a sport like the NBA. They want to see LeBron. They don't want to tune into a game where he's in street clothes. They don't want to tune into a game where the stars aren't playing because they're trying to manage their minutes so they're ready to go for the postseason. They don't want that. So I think there's a lot to do with that. There's a lot to do with the style of basketball being played where everybody's just running down the floor, pulling up from three and shooting threes instead of there being a post game. Like there used to be, you know, layups and working the big man, working the ball inside. That stuff, it's different. And I think that has a lot to do with why the sport is what it is. But yesterday, the NFL did play a couple of games, and they were on Netflix. And for anybody who paid attention to the Mike Tyson-Jake Paul fight from several weeks ago, Netflix had all kinds of problems streaming that game. There were people who were running into buffering issues. I was one of those. It was an awful experience.
Although for some reason it worked great on people's phones. I'm not somebody who really watches.
See, I tried it on my phone too, and it was having trouble.
I had almost no trouble on my phone, and I didn't even care. I would have given up my spot for you if I had known. I didn't care about the result of the fight, or I'm not into combat sports really, but I was just some people that I know are into it, so I was like, all right, it wasn't a pay per view, so I'll just pull it up, and it went fine for me. But yeah, apparently it was just a disaster for a lot of people.
It was really bad, and I saw because I like to follow sports on Twitter. I like to be on it when I have a chance to follow along what people are saying about the games as they're going on in real time. That's one of the enjoyable things about Twitter. And there were a lot of people who were having issues, people who cover the sport or who cover sports in general or just people I know. And yesterday I was wondering, okay, look, that's a UFC kind of thing. That's boxing. That's a combat sport. The NFL absolutely destroys everything else in this country. You better get this one right, Netflix. And I tell you, you watched both of those games or a significant part of the games yesterday. The Chiefs played early. Of course, you could hear that game here on KMOX. But I think it went well. Netflix nailed it yesterday.
Yeah, from what I heard, so I wasn't watching. I'm not a big pregame, postgame viewer of anything. Apparently, they had some issues right off the top that Kay Adams, the studio host, that her microphone was not working like the first 20 seconds of the broadcast.
Yes.
So she was speaking and you couldn't hear. So that's not a great, probably that had the alarm bells going for anyone who had it up right away.
Right.
But I thought during the game, now Netflix outsourced the game productions to CBS and they did a good job of finding a way to piece together broadcast booths, though I think putting together some people who hadn't worked together, in particular in the Chiefs-Steelers game, putting Ian Eagle with Nate Burleson and J.J. Watt, who have very little experience in color analyst roles during games. Burleson has a significant amount of, now a ton of television experience between NFL studio work and then all of his Good Morning America stuff. I mean, he's on television a lot, and J.J. Watt is getting there. It is a different thing, so I didn't think there was great chemistry in that booth in particular.
But in terms of the actual production of the broadcast and getting it off and
very
make sure
good.
That people
the picture
could
quality
see it.
The picture quality was fantastic. I think a lot of people felt that it stood out in that way as being higher quality than a lot of times what is possible on broadcast TV. Netflix spent $150 million just for the rights to do these games, even before they paid CBS to produce them, even before they negotiated expensive deals with all of the talent that they used, almost all of whom, I think with the exception of Robert Griffin III, would have existing contracts with other networks that Netflix had to then work out agreements with. So this was a complicated and very expensive thing for them to do. Kay Adams, by the way, University of Missouri alum, if that wasn't known to everyone.
That sounds vaguely familiar.
Yes. So Mizzou Tiger, Kay Adams, M-I-Z. I thought overall big win for them. They were spending that much money, not because they expected to make it back doing these games, but because they wanted to show the NFL that they're a viable partner for big games and what the perks of this could be. And certainly they did that in large part because they did a flawless job with the best halftime show that I had seen in a long time. And that was broadcast to God knows how many people, including in many other countries where they might have been turning on their Netflix just to watch the halftime show because they don't know the first thing about American football, but they do want to see Beyonce do her first, I think, live performances of a number of those tracks off her most recent album.
Well, in terms of the broadcast, this is I think there are greater implications for it. There have already been pretty much every streaming service has dabbled in professional sports. Apple TV,
like you said,
obviously.
Live sports commands the cultural awareness of people in a way nothing else can. You're talking about people live tweeting and the community online and all that. That's gone away but not for live sports.
Yeah, but it's not just that. I think it's our habits and how we're going to access this stuff. Because when MLB was on Apple TV, and we know all the MLS games for the most part are on Apple TV Plus, Netflix doing NFL Here. Tonight will be another prime video NFL game. The crappy Bears and the Seahawks are going to play. So there is a, I think there is a fatigue when it comes to streaming services, because yes, the whole reason people started to cut the cord 15 years ago is because cable was too expensive. And they just thought, you know what? I don't want to, I'm not going to deal with everything that comes with cable. There are all these channels I don't even want. So why bother? I'll just have Netflix, or I'll just have Hulu, or maybe both. And it'll be a fraction of the cost of cable every month. But if you're wanting to watch live sports now, you have to have all these streaming services. You have to have Apple. You have to have Amazon Prime. And probably soon you're going to have Netflix. And who knows what else will be streaming. What other sports will be streaming. Major League Baseball has already dabbled in it. Apple TV, like I said. So I think there is a fatigue with having all of these different subscription services, which ultimately ends up costing more than what cable would have costed you.
And even if you do have those, it's a little bit inconvenient relative to just changing the channel on your TV.
It is.
In many cases,
yeah,
you have to close out of an app and open up a new app just to change the channel, which is, by the way, another death blow to the NBA yesterday, because then people are, you know, even when the NFL game started to fade, that, you know, the first game got out of hand and then the second game really got out of hand. Are you going to close out of Netflix at the commercial or something just to go to the NBA game for like 60 seconds, at which point if you want to be back for the return from commercial
to
the NFL game,
flip.
You're going to have to go right back?
You're right.
I think a lot of people put it on and they put the remote somewhere and they didn't touch it for six hours.
You're exactly right. It's very difficult to flip like that, which can be good or bad, because if a person does flip during a break and they're like, oh, shoot, I forgot. The game's on. I better go back to the game. Well, now I got to exit out of an app and go to another one. It doesn't look, it's not the hardest thing in the world, but it feels pretty inconvenient in the moment to do that. And I think a lot of people are deterred from doing it. So I don't know what'll happen. At some point, there's going to have to be just a conglomeration of all of these things. It's all going to have to be available in one place. Everything, all these sports.
Which does feel an awful lot like reinventing cable, but I wonder if there is a way that they reinvent cable and we don't have to roll our eyes at it. If there is a way to reinvent cable in a way that is somewhat more a la carte, where if you could have your DirecTV or you could have your Spectrum and you could more pick and choose the channels that you have, and it could all be the same way that it was in 2010, and you're just flipping the channels, there are just more channels that you don't have because you don't want to pay for them. And less bundling of the channels within the, that's, to me, that's the only way that you arrive in a place where it feels like this was all worth it. Because right now you're just quickly getting to a place, especially if you're a live sports viewer, where you're paying a comparable amount to what you were before. You're getting about the same, but you're having to have seven different apps that you go between. And for some older people especially, I think it's hard to remember where everything is. And it's definitely not as convenient as just turning on your TV and changing the channel until you find something. So I wonder if there is a way, because in that sense, if what we wanted was not just it was going to be cheaper to cut the cord, but it was going to give the consumer more control and more customizability to have a la carte options, that has happened. Right, it is true that you have much more control and things are much more a la carte. But if you're a live sports viewer, especially, say, as the rights for a league get divvied up, if you're just an NFL fan, how many services do you have to be able to watch, you know, even just all the NFL games that you can get in your local area and all the national games? It's a significant number.
Speaking of the a la carte, for 2025, which is going to be a new thing, people, I'm not sure if you remember, but Cardinals and Blues games, if you want to watch them on TV, you can now go straight to FanDuel Sports Network. You don't have to have a cable subscription. You go straight to FanDuel Sports Network, and you get a package. It's $20 a month if you want to pay monthly. If you want to pay for the season, it's $90. And if you want to pay for the entire year, it is $190. So what that will get you is Blues, Cardinals, and then Grizzlies and Pacers in the NBA. It'll get you all those games.
And
I don't know how many Grizzlies and Pacers fans there are here, but
And that's not bad, right? People were asking for that. They wanted the ability to just cut straight through everything, straight to the product, and pay for the product that they wanted.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The downside is, I think people are realizing then, if you actually watch a much higher percentage of than you realized of what was on your cable bill, if you were a consumer of 50%+ of the content that you were paying for on cable, divvying it all up and paying for it all individually is a lot more expensive than bundling it, because you were saving. That was part of the prior model, is that they were able to save by bundling these things together and sort of spread out the cost, almost like insurance or something, like you're just spreading the cost with everyone.
I do know this. Cardinals games, always free on KMOX.
And
always
on the Odyssey app.
And on the Odyssey app, which you can put on your phone or your tablet or whatever. And if you've got Alexa at home, Alexa, play KMOX, and it will do it for you.
How many Alexas do you think you just turned on?
I hope all of them. I hope every single Alexa just woke up because I said that. People listening, you can listen at home. This is, it's so great. And by the way, you said something and it reminded me of this great tweet from, I don't know, a few years ago. But there was a young person, probably Gen Z.
Mm.
You Gen Z idiots.
I'm a millennial.
You are not a millennial, are you?
Yeah, I was born in 1996. That's the last year of millennials.
Okay. Barely.
Yep.
But it was some millennial or Gen Z person who said, you know, they really should figure out a way to make live podcasts. And the response was, congratulations, you've just invented radio.
It's like how Uber is gradually reinventing a public transit system. There's like, what if we all met at one place and all got on this bigger vehicle one place and we could disperse the cost?
We have podcasts too. If podcasts are on demand, we have it on the Odyssey app. Download it, AUDACY. It's Nate and Chris on KMOX.
Chris, did I hear you right that when you give a gift, you put it in a bag? Isn't that kind of hypocritical since you love to open presents? Just wondering your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I'm a hypocrite. You can leave a voice message on the Odyssey app like Laura did. Yes, I'm a hypocrite. I expect you to wrap my gifts, but I'm going to throw yours in a gift bag. I think that's the least you could do for me is wrap it. You think?
Did you wrap any gifts this year? For others?
No, but let me tell you what this dingbat that I work with, Amy Marks Kors, did. That's Nate Gatter, by the way. I'm Chris Ranji.
I bet Amy did a great job wrapping many gifts for all the people that she knows.
Bro, she got me a gift card, and she stuffed it in a card, you know, like a greeting card, and I watched her put it in the envelope and then hand it to me.
Sounds to me like your effort level getting reciprocated.
She didn't even write my name on the card.
She was giving it to you. It was hand-delivered. You don't need to write an address when you hand-deliver.
I had to tell her. I held it up and it said, put my name on this. What is the matter with you?
What a diva.
Come on,
this is what happens to radio talent these days. 2024, radio's gotten so big and high on the hog
that
midday radio talent on KMOX says, if you don't put my name on this, I don't even want it.
It's not even that. Who gives a crap about that? Let's just be serious, though. If you're going to give somebody a gift, you know what my cousin did? Was it last year or the year before? You know, you put the labels on the gift, you know, whatever. This SOB, he puts a Post-it note. Got a yellow Post-it note.
That's really funny. I like that.
Are you kidding me? Where's the thought?
The takeaway from this is, Laura, you're 100% right, and I regret that I did not raise that point myself. In fact, I'm really doubting my abilities now to be the foil that Ranj needs in this show, but I appreciate you chiming in, and no matter how quickly Ranj dismisses that hypocrisy, it is well noted.
I didn't dismiss it. I acknowledged it, and I'm just saying I don't care.
Right, which is another way of saying I acknowledged and then dismissed.
No matter how quickly he dismissed it, dismissal is me saying that's not accurate.
No matter how quickly he disregarded it.
There you go.
I acknowledge it fully, and I sit with it, and I leave space for it, as we say now, at the end of December 2024. And I'm sure many other listeners of our show also appreciate you, Laura, being the hero that we needed when I so badly dropped the ball.
Let's everybody calm down about that.
Well,
look, I just like to rip paper.
Do you think that Bernie Miklas wraps his gifts? Or do you think he's a gift bag guy?
Absolutely not. I bet he doesn't do anything. I bet he leaves it up to his wife to do all of it. I bet he doesn't even bother with the gift.
Do you think
he's probably a good gift giver, but I bet he doesn't wrap.
He doesn't do the logistics.
I don't think he does that stuff.
Do you think he has a strong opinion on whether his gifts are wrapped or not?
No.
And if so, how?
No. I bet he would say, oh, I'm just happy to receive a gift. I don't care.
I think that's mostly my attitude.
I don't need anything.
I'm not dismissing the idea that, yes, it is kind of fun to unwrap a gift, but I think mostly my attitude is I just appreciate the gift and
also,
I'm glad to be thought of.
Let's look at it this way. The aesthetic of having a Christmas tree and then a bunch of wrapped boxes under it is so much more appealing than a bunch of bags.
That's true. Do you have a tree in your apartment?
Yeah.
Do you put any wrapped packages under it for the aesthetics?
No.
No, it's just empty?
Yeah.
Oh, that's too bad. I'm going to get you, you know what? I'm going to get you a couple wrapped packages early December next year so that you can have them there and that you will get the aesthetic value of that.
Well, we can ask Bernie what he thinks about wrapping gifts.
I'm looking forward to it.
He's going to be in studio with us next. In fact, Bernie Miklas and Matt Pauly are going to be hosting after we are done today.
That's very exciting.
They have a show together. And Bernie's going to talk gifts with Lindsay. He's standing in here right now.
Yeah, I am.
Hey, Bernie.
I am.
Hey, Bernie. Bernie's with us when we come back on KMOX.
Swing and a base hit into the... Oh, what a play by Ozzy! Unreal! Unreal! Listen to the crowd!
Happy birthday, Ozzy Smith. He turns 70 today. Can't believe it. 70. Childhood hero for me. Ozzy Smith's birthday today. We wish him the best. It is Nate Gatter and Chris Ranji on KMOX today. And the Bernie Miklas Report is brought to you by Saliga Heating and Cooling, an American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. We've got Bernie Miklas in studio with us right now. He's got the Gas House Gang coming up at noon. And then at 1 o'clock with Matt Pauly, you'll be hosting this afternoon in place of Dave Glover.
This is a challenge, right?
No,
Matt
for
Pauly
you
and myself.
No,
you
guys.
For me, not Matt Pauly. But
no, you're going to be great.
Dave Glover is a towering figure.
Well, so are you.
Well, but this is his house.
It is his house.
But he's playing a road game today.
Yeah,
Bernie is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
No, you're
no,
going to.
I love Glover, and he got a kick out of hearing we're going to be doing. We're going to be mixing in some sports, but trying to talk about some other things too. So
how much do you like that, talking about stuff that's not sports?
I like to do it a lot, but I'm also uncomfortable doing it. That's a contradiction, yeah. I know, because it's kind of like I am, especially when it comes to politics. There's enough people running their mouths on either side that it's like, just leave
me.
Hey,
like us.
Yeah, right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Just like leave me out of this because I'm known for providing sports content. I have a YouTube channel. I want a safe space for people. They could be the most hardline MAGA or the most bleeding liberal. And it's like, I want a safe space where we can all meet and talk sports, right? So I don't want to do anything to disturb that. And I really mean that.
I get that because what you will end up, and I've had it, because I'm one of those people who will have opinions about stuff I shouldn't, because what the hell do I know? But I ran into that a lot when I was doing sports, and if you said anything on Twitter or whatever that was contrary to what people like or agree with, inevitably it's stick to sports. It's that.
No, right.
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 So, but I can't help myself because I have a mental problem.
Have you ever gotten a tweet from somebody or
no,
feedback
he's a contrarian.
Right.
Yeah. I did it.
You got caught. Have you ever, since you've been hosting this show and you're mainly, let's say, news talk, I mean, you guys do some sports, but have you ever given a sports opinion and had someone say stick to politics?
No.
No,
people don't get as angry with it. But what I found is people tell you to stick to sports only when you have an opinion that's contrary to theirs.
That's right. That's 100% right.
Right. They don't know what you're talking about, so stick to sports.
And I think this isn't just people on Twitter, right? This goes all the way up. How did Fox and Friends talk about Harrison Butker versus how did they talk about Shut Up and Dribble 10 years ago?
Yeah, yeah. It's pretty much the same thing.
And I don't want to bring any here I'm going to actually follow my policy. I'm not going to bring any names into it, but my long run in St. Louis, I've become pretty good friends with politicians in both parties, right? And it's true even now. I get text messages from Washington from certain people and text messages from Washington from other people. And they all love the Cardinals and they all want to know stuff. And they want to, like, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with that? And it's like, if people had saw the roster of all the people that I correspond with, let's just say I would have like half of the listeners mad at me. And then the other half would be mad at me too later on, because it's like I have friends on both sides.
You know,
through the love of sports, and that's where it ends.
Amy and I did that book event with Major Garrett with CBS News, and he wrote the Big Lie: Upholding Truth in the Age of Upholding Democracy in the Age of the Big Lie.
Another Mizzou guy, by the way. So you're talking about Kay Adams earlier. Mizzou alum Major Garrett.
So, it was, I mean, the book was about, you know, the stolen election stuff and all of that. And we had this event in the middle of, I think, the spring. And I asked him a question. We were on stage. We had an audience. And I said, you know, Thanksgiving's not for several months. But when you write a book like this, I'm sure you have people in your family who are Donald Trump supporters. And I'm sure when you get together with them, they're probably not very happy with you about this. And I said, how do you handle being with family? And his response was, you know, we can't lose everything. We can't lose everything because we're going to disagree on politics, but we have to have some common thread. So it our politics is so much worse than at any point in my lifetime, and I'm sure you would agree with that. But we have to have some commonality.
See, I was a young kid and teenager and young adult at a time where I grew up in a house, and it was really valuable for me to grow up in this house in terms of kind of like political sort of understanding that there are two sides and you should listen to the other side. My father was a staunch traditional conservative Republican, right? My mother was a liberal Democrat. And the conversations at the dinner table were outstanding. And I, as a kid, I'd soak it all up. And I loved it. And I did learn at a young age. It's like, you know what? You don't hate the other person if they disagree with you. These are my parents. And they're both making really good points.
Yeah.
You know, and no one's threatening to hit me over the head with a pan or something because I might side with one or the other. And it's like, that's how I was raised.
Exactly. It's so much different now because there are numbers now that people have a much more difficult time even getting into a relationship with somebody who was on the other side politically. And it used to be you just did it, you lived together, you disagreed on politics, but it was fine. Now it's like, oh, they're a Democrat? No, not doing that.
I was going to say the same thing. How much do you think the existence of those types of households has, where even you have a, you know, husband, father, who's one party, and a wife and mother who's another party, let alone where they're able to talk about those things civilly in front of their children, as compared to, say, 50 years ago. Like in the 70s, how many of those types of couples and families existed? And in 2024, how many do? I bet it's a relatively small fraction.
It has to be, because everything's so contentious now. And there is, I talk about trying to keep my place a safe space, like on my YouTube channel, but you never can escape it. Do I have a minute to tell this story?
Yeah.
All right. I'm on every social media platform there is. In other words, none of it has anything to do with political affiliation. Okay. And, you know, the ones that I pump up the most, you know, in terms of promotion are X and now Blue Sky. I have Instagram. I've never been a Facebook guy. I have an Instagram, which I'm good in 2025. Is one of my goals to like reactivate that. But I've been on X. I've stayed on X. X has changed since the time that I first started going on there.
Yeah.
I was unaware that Blue Sky is known as some like radical liberal social media platform. All I know is like a lot of sports people that I know, sports media went on there. They provide valuable information and insight. And I find that it's really easy to have a conversation. And that's the end of it. Well, this is kind of a nice, stress-free place to hang out. That's it. That's the beginning and the end, right? And so a guy liked a blues video I did, and he said, oh, but I noticed you're on Blue Sky, so you're a disgusting liberal. And he said, but I've looked into my heart and I'm going to forgive you anyway.
Forgive you?
Forgive me for what? For being on Blue Sky, being nice to people?
Also, I don't understand, even if you thought that,
right?
Like how people can't take the jump to, this man is making his living off of driving traffic to content that he produces.
Yeah.
It's literally his business to go on all of, you know, to be everywhere that you can be. Like, you want to be on as many social media sites as possible, regardless. That just doesn't make any sense to me.
I told the guy, I said, you know, I said, like, I want to keep this, a safe space. I don't talk about politics. I'm not into politics anymore. And it's like, but I'm just assuming you're on a platform that would be, you know, considered a lot more conservative or MAGA or whatever you want to call it. I said, does that mean I should hate you for no reason other than the fact you have a different set of beliefs than I do? Like, why do you want to hate me? Because why am I disgusting? Because I'm not on Blue Sky talking politics. I'm not on there, you know, hitting the like for, you know, like radical left opinions. I'm just on there talking sports.
For sports, yeah.
That's it. Just people just never know when to just like, enough's enough.
And it's especially because he started from the premise of liking your blues video. Like, right. Why can't he just like the thing that you produced and be done with it?
It's the being on Blue Sky is not an endorsement of a political party. It's being on another platform that may or may not grow into something bigger. And if it does, you want to be a part of it on the ground floor so that you were there.
No, that's right. And you know, I got friends in every realm when it comes to politics, and I want to keep it that way. But man, you know, people want to just attach a brand to you and pretend to know what you believe in politically, and it's just bizarre. You know, it's like a newer form of McCarthyism. You know, we're gonna go hunt those people on Blue Sky. Oh, that sports writer's on there. He's a disgusting liberal. Let's go get him. You know, it's like, can everyone just relax, right? And you know, if they knew some of my political beliefs, they'd be surprised.
Yeah.
You know, I'll just leave it at that. So don't try to paint me in a corner. You can't. Because I'm all over the place politically, basically. I am. Yeah, I don't play for a team, you know. I don't have a team.
Well, people who play for a team, that's what it gets for me out of control,
right.
Is that whatever your team does is the right thing.
Right.
And whatever the other team does is the wrong thing. You should be able to criticize your look at the way you think about the Cardinals,
right?
As a sports fan, and I don't mean you, Bernie. I mean anybody listening. When they mess up, you're all over them. You're Absolutely. All over the Cardinals when they mess up. You could do the same thing with your political team.
Sure,
you could do that, but it seems like people won't. That whatever their team does, it's clearly the right thing, and whatever the other side does is clearly the wrong thing. Look at your political team, the party that you like. Look at them the same way you look at your baseball team or your hockey team or your football team.
That's so true. The way you lay it out there, very nicely done, sir.
Yeah, well, it's funny you say that, Ronch, because I think for people in media, maybe that comes a little more naturally too. Like, there are some downsides. I think media tracks, in particular, you would be able to comment on this better. But I think in particular, the kind of newspaper media where you're doing more critical coverage lends itself to a certain degree of skepticism and cynicism that rises in people, which maybe sometimes is unhealthy. But one of the benefits of it, I think, is you're less prone to saying, I'm on a team and I just toe the party line no matter what, right? When you've read enough press releases, you're like, I never want to be the guy who has to sell the press release no matter what, because some of those guys are debasing themselves when they're writing something that we all know is untrue,
right,
or is a stretch of the truth or is a gloss of something. And you don't want to have to be putting the lipstick on the pig.
Yeah, and it's just one of the frustrating things about the way that it's evolved since I started is that, you know, I try to be, you know, when I think criticism is warranted or justified, I don't hesitate. I metaphorically speaking, drop the gloves. But even just pointing out, and I always base things on facts and stats, and I do, and I can lay out the case why I feel this way and why the Cardinals are screwing up or whatever, okay, why the lineup should be different or whatever. And it's no longer okay with some people. There's no longer okay to just be constructive, like responsible criticism where you're backing it up rather than just going off half-cocked, right? And yet it doesn't matter. It's like, it's just, oh, there's Bernie being soft again.
Well,
why? Because I didn't call Bill DeWitt like some obscene name. Like, to some people, that's what it rises to. Unless you are turning it, metaphorically speaking, to a Jerry Springer show. You're throwing chairs at like the manager of the Cardinals, and you're calling them names, and you're making fun of them in your like stereotypical way, and you're being just absolutely vicious for no reason. It has nothing to do with the baseball stuff.
Yeah,
that means you're soft. That means you're a wimp.
I went through that with when I was with the Sox, because they were bad most of the time, and historically bad most of the time. And if I would approach any of their issues in a measured way, people would get upset that I wasn't approaching it in the emotional way that they were, which I actually understand. I get that.
Yeah, I do get that, too.
I get that, but also there is a place to be reasonable and measured when it comes to your team. Now, what Cardinals fans are experiencing now, most of them, or the younger ones, is something that they've never experienced, which is, losing.
Right.
They're not used to it. So now you have to figure out how to process it when your team isn't very good, because you've grown up and the team has always been at least competitive.
I don't blame any Cardinal fan for being frustrated or disappointed. I'll never say a word about that, because I don't feel that any kind of criticism is justified. You're entitled to your feelings, first of all. What I have a problem with is that Tom Ackerman and I were talking about this the other day. You know, now we both get stuff like, oh, they've turned the Cardinals into the White Sox.
Still a little ways to go there.
Let's slow down on that one.
They've turned the Cardinals are now, because of these guys, they're now Pittsburgh Pirates West. And I sat on Gas House Gang the other day, because some guy did say that. He says, oh, listen, they've turned this great franchise into the White Sox. And I said, because I don't hold back when I think something's preposterous. I said, see, I have no problem with anyone's critical of the Cardinals and points out what they don't like or where they've screwed up. I think that's great. That's part of the conversation. And I agree with a lot of it. But you lose, as a critic, you lose every strand of credibility when you're now saying they're the Chicago White Sox. Like, you're defeating your own argument.
Right. Either you're ignorant enough that you think that's true, or you're emotional enough that you don't care.
And I said, so there's no reason for me to take anything you say seriously.
Right.
So why would you go that far? You don't have to. There's a lot to criticize that's valid. You don't have to go loop-de-loo cuckoo on it, right?
Look,
I'm going to use loop-de-loo cuckoo at least once on a Cardinals post-game show this year, and they are not going to like it.
No, they are going to hate it. And I'm going to tell you right now that if any Cardinals fan is out there thinking that their team is now like the White Sox, I assure you, they are not.
It's like, I mean, there's no reason to take it that far.
That's embarrassing. No.
Cardinals still won, almost twice as many games as the White Sox last year?
No.
Anyway.
Bernie, I love having you in. We'll hang out with you at 1 o'clock.
I tell you what, Matt Pauly, we're doing two Gas House Gangs today and tomorrow, and we're doing Glover both days. You know, he's going to be just like, gosh, can I get rid of this guy?
No, he's not. Matt Pauly needs every bit of help he can get.
Oh, Ozzie has a long throw. Will he get him? All right, he did. The inning's over. That was his 7,000 assist.
One out, nobody on. Top of the ninth inning. Cards lead 12.
Ozzie Smith, I mentioned it last segment, but he's 70 years old today. It is his birthday. So if you see Ozzie Smith, he's probably not going to be out and about. I bet he's with his family. But if he is out, you better wish him a happy birthday.
I have a follow-up on something we discussed earlier about this time of year being gloomy for you this week. Not this time of year. This time of year is actually quite great for you, but the aftermath of Christmas being a little gloomy.
Radiohead wrote a song about it. It's called Let Down.
Do you wish that you had a December 26th, 27th, 28th birthday to help make the week easier?
No. You got to space it out.
Okay.
I always really felt bad. I mean, as bad as you could feel for somebody who's the worst thing about them is they have a birthday on Christmas. But I felt bad for people who had birthdays on Christmas or right around it.
Yeah, I don't feel bad for Ozzie Smith. I think he's had a good life.
Oh, he's having a great life still. Yeah,
I think I would trade. I'd take the December 26th birthday in exchange for the Hall of Fame.
Okay, you didn't tell me that was the option.
Yeah, that was a little manipulative, wasn't it?
Yeah, if you said, hey, here's the deal. You can be a Hall of Famer, but your birthday has to be December 26th. I wouldn't even think twice about it.
Okay, new one, the better one. You can be a Hall of Famer, but you can never celebrate Christmas or do anything Christmas-related again. You can never listen to Christmas music. You can never watch a Christmas movie. You can never wear a Christmas item. You can never give or receive a gift. You can never express anything related to Christmas again.
Who cares about the Hall of Fame?
That's good to know. You're a real Christmas man. You're a real Christmas man.
Who cares? You're telling me I can't listen to Frank and Dean and Bing?
You could,
anymore?
Just not their Christmas songs.
That's what I'm talking about.
Give me Christmas music or give me death.
Damn, oh my God, I love Christmas tunes so much. The 26th is such a bummer. I blame the Canadians.
So is it December 1st when KZK starts with the Christmas music?
It's not like a set date, but...
We got to figure out when that is next year, and you and I should sit there listen with the radio on waiting for it to switch to the Christmas music. We can live stream it for all the other Christmas people like you, and it'd be a good time.
I asked you earlier who or what or how your Christmas went, and if you had a Christmas fight, I want you to tell us about it. You could text at 314-436-7900. And a texter from yesterday checked in and said, an update for y'all. Our family tradition, which I should probably set this up, they said their family tradition is that they usually get drunk and usually there's a fight.
That's the main one. That's like the top of the line tradition.
Okay. The 636 says, an update for you all. Family tradition was broken. Yes, we got drunk, but incredibly, no punches thrown.
Oh, so when they say fight.
Progress. Yeah.
They mean at least a couple people are going to square up.
Yeah.
That, I think, is unusual.
Never seen that at one of my holiday parties.
Maybe that's the downside of Christmas. Thanksgiving, they work it all out with a family football game. Christmas, there's no football game, so they got to just throw punches.
That's probably exactly it. Well, even though Christmas is over, it is still a busy travel season right now. And there's something that some of you idiots are doing on airplanes, and we need to have a talk about it. Nate Gatter, Chris Ranji on KMOX.